Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Don't have kids. Falcon is at a stage with talking where when they say the words book and fox and sock and like a couple other in that range, it all sounds like fuck.
Yes.
It all sounds like fuck.
Yes.
And it's one of those things where
delightful.
They'll just run around the house shouting, fuck, fuck. And I have to go,
yes.
Hey, what are we saying? What are we saying? Can you point to what you're saying right now?
Fuck.
And then we have to like slowly like, oh, book. Yeah, that's a cool book.
No, it's a fuck. James, that's a fuck.
That's a fuck.
Okay. All right. Let's start making some big time plays for some big time players. Actually, can we group workshop this? Because I think that'll probably be better and give us stronger.
Absolutely. So you have this goal, your ultimate goal, you want to infiltrate this important power brokering meeting where essentially the syndicate shuffles around figures who are on the board and create big plans like the next like 5-year plan or whatever for the Red Feather Syndicate. You want to stir that pot a little bit.
Yes. I would love it if we could come up with a person who would be in the space of being a regular in terms of these big time plays. They're not necessarily super strong, but they're always there. And, you know, who's hungry for it? And maybe suggest that this is they're going to be giving up the game, that they've realized that they've lost the edge and are going to start bowing out. This might be their last year of making big moves. But who is that? Who is going to let's make up a guy?
I think
invent a man.
I might have an answer here, and I am just looking for. I'm trying to remember the name of the head of acquisition. Like this is okay. Oh wait, here we go. Argus Westfield was somebody that you met with in Bujaneath. He was the Red Feather operative who was negotiating for the return of the feather weave. I think not getting that weave back and the Uhuru getting away at that port is seen as a huge loss for the syndicate because it's not even just that. Like, he led this contingent of people who the whole thing was, hey, the civility got hit, which is bad news, and they stole feather weave, which is worse news. They're trying to sell it. We need somebody to flex the muscles of the syndicate and show that we are not to be messed with. And under him, you had Tiberius Youngblood come in and make a play to have the Red Feathers take over Bujaneath. And instead, 10% of the soldiers that were dispatched there lost their lives due to the broker's agents, and the feather weave got away. I think Argus Westfield used to be like, he was in the position of essentially the top pirate hunter within the Red Feather Syndicate. And over the course of that year, had this major blunder, and a lot of political allies have distanced themselves from him. But I think he currently sits on the board. So he has to be there no matter what, but he's expected to take big, big losses.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, not to go and dredge up some old news, but it did leave a bit of an impression on me. Do you remember that tragic to do in Bujanith, the loss of that large amount of featherweave. I think there was one Argus Westfield who was responsible for that little failure of a dalliance.
I think at this, Edith raises an eyebrow. You can tell that there is a bit of a misstep that you made there, but I like the way in which you made it. Yes, Mr. Westfield has had a terrible time as of late. You know, I think it is so difficult for some people to realize when they have outlived their usefulness. There is no shame in retiring. And Westfield is one of those old sorts who, in the Admiral game for so long, it's just time to step down.
Indeed, you might be ahead of me in the gossip that I was going to be talking about. I hear that he's giving up the big life. You know, maybe thinking of a protege to pass on his burdens onto you.
Now that is news, though I can't imagine who it would be, or even that a vote of confidence from Westfield would be weight in anyone's corner. He was very attached to that young blood child who was training under him, who he unfortunately led to a grisly end in Bujanee.
Not that the Red Feathers should be superstitious about anything. It has meant that that territory was a little dangerous for any new upstarts within the company to try and fill in that spot. But it seems like he might have actually found somebody who's willing to step up to the plate. Intriguing, isn't it?
Could I, Mr. Larbalest, trouble you for a name? I am indeed very curious.
Oh my, Mistress. That sounds like that would be gossip leaving the table, wouldn't it? Lean back in the chair, the biggest smile.
Well, I can assure you that I would not do anything to damage your reputation, but perhaps private conversations are better for that sort of news.
Westfield should have stepped down the moment all those troops were murdered. Should have taken over Bujanith from that nasty broker. It's a shame. It's awful. He should have hung his tail and walked right into the sunset.
Oh, yes, that half-plucked little skeleton they have running their city. You know, he's not even an elected official. He has no civic power within that city, but they walk around like they own the place. They dictate all of who should park where. Absolutely terrible.
My unregistered manipulation of the community. Unheard of and civilized.
Well, that's what you get when you don't port yourself within a red feather city. I say, these independent cities, they think so highly of themselves, but there's no organization, no separation of the classes. Absolutely dreadful.
Anarchy.
Wouldn't vacation in Bujanith if you offered me a fully paid holiday. I wouldn't.
No, indeed. And so close to the ocean. Oh, just disgusting. What the sort of environment, and so dangerous.
Not that you're in need of a fully paid holiday anytime soon, eh, Stone?
Well, we are past the busy season. There are things to see at the port. We are hoping to ship out a great deal more. Miss Truss has done wonderful work increasing production, you know. So there are arrangements that need to be made, but I do have hopes for a holiday in the near future.
Traveling anywhere anytime soon.
Oh, my.
Do you intend to put down roots here? No.
Oh, so this is addressing a... Yeah.
Isn't Stone, like, stuck there?
Stone works a very important... Stone is a portmaster here.
Okay, then never mind. I thought I was talking to...
I don't think he's necessarily a debtor, no.
Tyler's character. Okay, never mind. Never mind. Megan, out!
Well, if you are looking for a bit of globe trotting, Mr. Stone, maybe I can show you some of the charts that we purchased for our jaunt. Although I suppose after a certain point they are clearly a little misleading. But what a fortuitous result of us getting a little lost. Cheers.
That is awfully generous of you, Mr. Larbalest. I don't know many sailing men who would share their maps.
Oh my. You misconstrue my enjoyment of the winds for an enjoyment of piracy. Do I look like somebody who would be stooping to that kind of behavior for my daily activities?
I would never dream of disparaging your reputation in such a way. I am not used to mixing with the sailing classes. I was not aware that customs differed. Most sailing folk that I've spoken to clutched their maps as tightly as another might clutch his purse.
And they do indeed, but I find that as somebody who is, I suppose, relatively new to the space within the air, that it's so full of gatekeeping. People ought to keep all kinds of secrets, and they're not even interesting and juicy ones.
Now that is an interesting statement, Mr. Larbalest. Am I to understand that your ship is a recent acquisition?
Even though it shows a little bit of wear and tear, we did do our best to get it in the air so we could do a jaunt. As I say, I'm very used to yachting, and the process of going for a larger vessel is something that was a bit of a project I am getting on in years. And I find that when you get to be my age, you start to think about the future and what kind of things you have and haven't done with your lives. You know what I mean?
Well, allow me to offer my deepest and most sincere congratulations to obtain a bill of sale for Weave. That must have taken some diligence, several lifetimes of diligence by most accounts.
Some diligence and a lot of happy customers, and a handful of unhappy people, but they were not employing me. Smile.
Do you know, when I was in the city months ago, there were people who were claiming that they've seen more ships floating about without red feather insignia.
It was impossible.
Absolutely ridiculous. I've never heard of any sort of privateer activity in this region when it is not pigment season. But nonetheless, there were many folk about saying that they've seen all manner of strange ships zipping about the skies.
My. Dangerous times indeed. I suppose my jaunt for a holiday has been ill-timed. But as I say, I don't necessarily want to be in the neck of the woods when people are starting to get a little bit hungry. I figured taking a bit of a step away for a new perspective was a good time.
Well, as I said, if you were a safety-conscious individual, you couldn't have picked a better time. There has been a record low in piratical events. That is, in part due to the fact that I assume of Westfield stepping down and relieving himself of some of his responsibilities as keener and meaner minds have taken over.
Hmm. Quite so, quite so. Now, thinking about it, I would like to use one of my abilities that we've not used on the show yet.
Mm-hmm.
I have an intellect ability called Surveying Tactics, point spend, describing one new object in the scene that Oromar has noticed, using it in a roll, upgrade one die. I want to introduce to the scene. So this, the place that we're having our dinner in is Mr. Stone's, right?
If it's anyone, it's Miss Trusses. Mr. Stone does reside here. This is a Red Feather owned and operated facility, and the highest ranking Red Feathers reside here while they are working in Sorrow's End.
I want there to be like a plaque, an award, a trophy of some kind on a mantelpiece that was awarded to Miss Truss.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is full on like corporate achievement bullshit. What are internal awards for the Red Feathers? This is like for like economic achievements. She is like consistently beating her like quarterly projections, and it's like some glass little thing that they send out. What could that be? What is it called?
This is the Soaring Robin Award for
Soaring Cardinal.
The Soaring Cardinal Award for ever increasing prosperity. When line goes up enough where people are giving you an award for it, there's clearly something desperate there for you to want to keep maintaining that.
Yeah, I think this is the Michelin star equivalent for like a corporate office. This place has a rating of a single cardinal. For a place this remote to earn a cardinal, like that is, on the books at least, from what you know, a big deal, whether it is sheerly through what they have accomplished in terms of financials or even the political game that Truss is playing.
Mm-hmm. Julian Loblest nudges Tom in the ribs. Oh my, who there? An award. Oh, this is a cardinal award even. Goodness, we are among people who are far more prosperous than my dalliances. I may have done my bit, but we are definitely in the home of somebody who has reached prosperity I couldn't even dream to reach.
Indeed, as an outside observer, I have to say, Miss Truss has transformed this region and the lives of many of the people who have passed through here. An exemplary Red Feather executive. Even if I say so myself. Truss nods, acknowledging the compliment. I do work quite hard here, and there is still more work to be done, of course, but I have great designs for this region.
My, of course you do. After all, I did notice the baths that were part of Sorrow's End. It's so rare for this kind of particular piece of public work. It must have been a part of genius on your behalf, looking at Ms. Truss, for you to install such a thing here.
Yes, well, I'm afraid I cannot take credit for that. That is where I must turn my compliments towards Mr. Arivetti. Mr. Arivetti came here shortly after we arrived, said he had been called to the Sovereign's Path and has built up quite an institution, and to many around here has offered comfort and solace. And those public baths, well, those baths are most certainly a part of comfort and solace within Sorrow's End.
And considering the prices that I saw too, use those baths must be making you a pretty bit or two. And I don't know what point I should be rolling for this, but I would love to, all of this to kind of get the subtext of like, hey, Truss, this person's earning money that you probably should be getting.
Okay. Getting some discord in there. Yeah. So for a role like that, I think that is a lot of discord that you're trying to solve. This is going to be bedeviling with one upgraded die. So you're against three dice. You do have your free upgrade of the award, kind of invoking Truss's own ego here. Mm-hmm. And I want to point out that my preparation for this session, there is all kinds of information that these people have that you can get from them. So don't be afraid to pull on threads or make rolls to try and get information, because it's there and there's a lot of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that goes for you as well, Liz.
Thomas is fundamentally incurious.
there's probably angles on the finer detailings of how the church are operating here that Orimar wouldn't know what to ask. Okay. So I would go, I feel like it's a presence for that, which is 2d8. I have a free upgrade, so that's 1d12 and 1d8. And I'm going to spend my 3 fate that I gained earlier.
Ooh, yeah.
To gain a d6 and then upgrade that to do a d8. So it's just 2d8s and a d12.
Excellent. All right, yeah, even odds.
So on the d8s, it is a 4 and a 3.
Okay.
And on the d12, it's an 8.
An 8. That is going to be, you do get a fate and an opportunity, mm-hmm. but the roll itself is a wash, so we turn ourselves to the luminaries.
Okay. Trying to make these big plays here. Is it even paying off for me? I have no idea.
I mean, there's a lot that you can do here. Again, this is the first, contact Orimar is having mm-hmm. with somebody who has a real grip on the outside world, even if they are in kind of a remote location. You know, the people down in Haven had no idea what was going on. So, mm-hmm. you know, playing a reserve game is just fine. And we have the newborn. Let's see here. Those themes are beginnings, responsibility, and potential. I am going to say I don't think this luminary plays in your favor right here. Truss goes, the church's operations are within the purview of the church, and the benefit to our community is incalculable. I believe that Occhio Arifeti would be able to speak to this far better than I. Miss Truss, as always, I am so flattered by you honoring me with such compliments. I was called here because the sovereign, even in death, can sense the suffering that is bestowed upon children scattered across Sphere. And I sensed that suffering here, and a way for the path of sovereignty to ease that suffering. There is a treatment I perform alongside my own officials that allows the water here to soothe those who are beset by scarlet, which has allowed Miss Truss's work to continue to flourish and helped the Red Feathers develop their region greatly. I only ask for more because our capacities are lower, and unless we are able to greatly expand the operation of our facility, we simply will not be able to meet the demand of everyone who is seeking treatment for their conditions, especially as the Feathers swell their ranks in order to see Miss Truss's beautiful vision come to life.
Ah, a symbiotic relationship you two have established. Well, you both are so prosperous. Marvelous. Well, I do hope that you'd get to expand and help more of Sorrow's End. You wouldn't want them to be suffering, of course.
Is that the only treatment?
It is the safest treatment. There are folk cures that have been bandied about. They ask for great sacrifices to forces that are less pure and less trustworthy than the sovereign and his path, of course. And although we do charge, there is a way for people to access this treatment free of charge. There is a sacrifice and commitment they must make to the church, of course, but that is only to be expected. And I must say that I have been deeply impressed by the people of this region. Again, I mentioned the sovereign and his affection for the exceptional. I believe the commitment that people have here to their own paths, to their own walks, is exceptional.
It is easy to be exceptional when one is desperate.
Perhaps extreme conditions allow us to place ourselves on a step higher than those around us. I cannot imagine a man who has lived his life in comforts and luxuries would be called to exceptions easily. It is far easier for someone to rest upon power and sink into it than for one to go out, explore, and achieve.
Hey heroes, it's James, your Game Master, and I've got some exciting announcements! First up, next week on Monday, we are dropping a new episode of Sky Joust, and this will be the first unaired audio in a long time! If you listened to Sky Joust when it first aired on the Skyjacks feed, you know we aired the audio from the full quarterfinal match of the Burning Tales and the first episode of each other team. Well, we finally passed the Burning Tales, and this week we aired the first episode of the Frog Princes. But next week is going to be episode 2 of The Frog Princes, which means it's all new stuff. The Frog Princes, of course, feature our very own Nathan Blades alongside Rashawn Scott and James Mendez Hodes. Now is a perfect time to jump back into Sky Joust. But I've got news that's even better than that. To make Sky Joust, we collaborated with the folks over at Story Brewers Games. They designed The Good Society and Fight with Spirit, the sports drama RPG that we used for Sky Joust. And they made a lot of custom material for it. And for the last few months, we've been turning that material into an official expansion for Fight with Spirit. On February 20th, that expansion is going to be available for purchase. That'll include all of the mechanics that we developed for Sky Joust, like new traits and match games, along with PvP rules for Fight with Spirit. But it also comes with a 38-page PDF that includes lore from the world of Skyjacks about jousting. So, if you want to play a cool sports drama RPG set in the world of Sphere, this is a great thing for you to pick up. And if you can't get enough Skyjacks lore, this is also going to be a great thing for you to pick up. Best of all, it's fully illustrated, including work from Aaron Azar and Justin Langill. Once again, the Skyjoust expansion for Fight with Spirit is going to be available on February 20th. And we've got a brand new episode of Sky Joust coming out next week over on the Sky Joust feed. So get ready because the show is really taking off. As always, a huge thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon. We wouldn't have been able to do any of that exciting stuff without support from our listeners. They take care of all of our regular expenses and allow us to try making new things. And I couldn't be more grateful for it. If you like what you hear, please head over to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and sign up to support us. In return, you get access to lots of cool rewards. And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
And with all that out of the way, let's get back in the sky!
Gable just sits back, like, oh, this is church bullshit. I don't want it. I'm not going to engage with this anymore.
Well, I think Orimar catches your eye, having realized that you've, you know, put the good man on the back foot slightly or made him more defensive about the matter of it and looks at you. And I don't know if there's a way that we would, how we kind of communicate with each other in a way that's more subtle.
Just
you probably have hand sign that you can like do.
I do a quick sign, sorry.
No. In a subtle hand sign, Orimar says to you, like, push it.
Oh, okay.
You seem to have put in a wedge there.
Well, because, like, trying to get... I was on the point of, like, does the church do the same procedure that I saw? And I'm pretty sure no, because I think that's what he was referencing. It's like, oh, these are the old cures that were violent and such. But, like, now I'm just curious, like, oh, what does he know? But I don't know exactly how to... ask that, I guess.
I mean, sure. You can do it however you can even bluntly go, how does it work? You are in the position right now of everybody believing you are normally a servant to a privateer captain. If you want to be uncouth, people kind of expect you to be a little uncouth. So there's no danger here. You know, the worst case scenario is that you offend someone to the point that you're dismissed from the dinner. That's not a huge tragedy.
Okay, then I'm gonna tell it like a sailor's tale. When I heard of Sorrow's End when I was a child, there was a old wives tale, I suppose, of a treatment for the scarlet. Cannot possibly be true, but quite violent, and was, I suppose, intended to scare children from wanting to visit or perhaps even engage with certain plants, flora, or fauna. Gable, like, grabs the captain's wine in sort of... not the captain's, grabs, like, Megan's wine and in sort of a letting loose kind of way. I heard that Sorrow's End used to be the domain of the butcher. Isn't that interesting? How very heretic, if that is to be believed. And the treatment they butcher as simple things, but peeling the skin away from the bones so as to fully remove the very painful nerve endings, and then place upon it a sackcloth skin that would move and protect as if it were skin, but you could no longer feel. Really gruesome. Could be entirely impossible.
The peanut gallery is definitely drawn in by the picture that you have painted here. Like, Mr. Stone is, like, scandalized and also fascinated at the same time. Their trust is, like, again, looking on with her unreadable expression. And Aravetti looks at you, does not show much emotion on his face, and goes, oh yes, the desperation that took place here was in its own way exceptional. And I will say, for my part, though I am but a mere occhiovista, I do not believe that consorting with lumens is on its own a heretical act. The church could not deny the simple fact of the existence of other lumens. However, I am happy to report that the procedures that we are allowed to perform here, thanks to the blessing of mistrust and our agreement with the syndicate, is much gentler indeed. They merely need to bathe their flesh within our baths, and should they be able to keep that up regularly, it can stave off and slow the progression of the scarlet.
How did you convince the locals? A local practice such as this, and you being interlopers, it seems unusual that you would find so much agreement amongst the populace.
My, you do have little interaction with the slain church. There are very few ports left on Sphere where our church would be considered interlopers. And to answer your question, why, all people need to observe the power of the sovereign is sights and wonders. And that, I have been able to perform. People merely need to see with their eyes their fellows after bathing in the waters that the church has prepared, to know that we offer a gentler and safer path towards life.
My, so noble. Now, Thomas, you mustn't scare people with the tales heard in the skies and in dark corridors.
No, my lord. Your man Thomas here is, again, he is asking good questions. I believe it is important to be curious, to educate oneself. That is part of the path of the sovereign, to be one of his favored children, to chase the exceptional. One must be curious. There are many things that I desire to know, and the path that I walk pushes me towards knowing those things. Or at least, that is what I hope within my service to the slain throne.
Curious about the exceptional. Such words of wisdom. Actually, to wind things back just a little bit, we were talking about some of the gatherings that are going to be going on that I am deftly avoiding for the time being. But Miss Truss, are you going to be attending?
I'm afraid I do not know what you mean.
Oh, goodness. There is a bit of a ball going on down the line. Not for me. It's not really something
that I could
be. Oh,
yes, of course. You mean later this year, the... We need to name this event. We need to name this event.
Sure. How subtle are they about it? Is it something that's kind of, like, swathed in corporate terminology? Is it a...
I mean, this is a thing that they, like, whenever this happens, they have to, there's a lot surrounding it, right? Because they're pulling captains and admirals out of the field, and, like, a lot of things have to be rearranged. So this isn't a secretive thing. This is a thing that, like, people know this happens.
Mm-hmm. We could just call it the retreat.
The retreat.
The corporate retreat.
I was going to say the Crimson Gala.
The Crimson Gala is wonderful.
That's great.
Ah, you mean the Crimson Gala. Yes, later this year. I am hoping that my efforts are recognized to the point of receiving an invitation, but one can never assume such a thing. And my other hope, then, is that my... words of my deeds reach the ears of my allies so that I may expand what we do here. I believe there is a tremendous opportunity if those who are helming the ship over at the headquarters of the Red Feathers see the advantage that we provide.
Of course, of course. After all, you are providing them with their aesthetic. And what is any company but its aesthetic being recognized worldwide?
Believe me when I say aesthetic is only the beginning. It is important, of course, that ships and buildings and uniforms and flags across the whole of Sphere reflect the strength that sits in the core of Aurum. But there is much more that we can offer. We, through our efforts here, are going to be able to offer security, strength, and protection.
You're expanding the enterprise. No wonder you have a cardinal. Do I get a sneak preview of the business pitch? You must have been rehearsing.
I want you to make a presence roll here.
Yeah.
For how many presents you get.
I will continue... I will spend one fate and one point of presence to gain another d8 to my roll. Excellent. No, that's two. That's two to add a d6, right? So I'll need to spend three to upgrade it to a d8. That's fine. I will spend one fate and two presence, putting me at 2 of 8 to get another d8 on the roll. I'm pretty low on presence now, but I do not have any talents that require it to be empty, so that's bad. Okay. We have, on these D8s, a 1, a 2, and a 7.
That is an overwhelming success. Well, perhaps it is quite fortunate that the winds have blown you and your vessel my way. I have been preparing this port for some time to expand operation, both in terms of scope and diversity of what we can make here. You know our major exports are, of course, pigments, but we also export an important weapon to be used against the Mariner and his ravages. There are many operations that the Red Feather Syndicate conducts that are slowed and impeded by the continued presence of the Mariner across the waters. It is difficult to outfit all the ships in the fleet with Leviathan oils if we are constantly having to fend away attacks from drowned sailors. And although those attacks have been down as of late, one never knows when the Mariner will resurge with a strengthened fleet. And that is where I believe we have opportunities. And you, having a ship, which right now I've gathered is quite large, you could move some cargo for me. I do have new pigments that I would like to export, but also a concentrated form of one of my proudest achievements here. And that, of course, is the Maladiso, the poison that will hold the sea at bay. There is a form of it that can be weaponized far more easily. It's only being tested right now, but if it were to receive the right advocates at Redfeather headquarters, it would be simple enough to increase our operations here, see more debtors find ways to serve their sentences, and see more of the rediscovered world free from fear of the seas.
Involving the debtors in with the plan as well. Genius. You are an astounding worker. I know you are definitely the kind of person to get results.
How many who right now rot away in Red Feather cells that still have the strength of their arms and their legs could be moving their bodies in favor of developing the rediscovered world? It is a waste. It is a shame, and one that I hope is put to an end.
There's a smile that doesn't reach the eyes. Too true, too true. You've got to make the best of what you've got. Now, you did say something a little previously about wanting to have a bit of a tete-a-tete about the gossip too spicy for even this table. It feels that we have much to talk about.
Indeed. I should like to take a meeting with you tomorrow to discuss business arrangements. I believe there's a great deal that we could do for one another.
Quite. Indeed, indeed. I must say, this has been a delightful meal for both of us. I answer on both of our behalves. I must go and see the young one. Tiago did have a matter to attend to, but I thought it would not be something that would do interrupting this delightful evening you've put forward for us, but I should speak to him.
And Trust goes, of course, it has been delightful dining with you all, I am sure. At this, Accio Araveti turns to Gable. Thomas, I must admit, I do admire the path that you walk now. I believe it is not far from where the Sovereign desires you to stray. And he offers, like, what looks like a handshake.
Gable stands, pulls their seat out in a very, like, clumsy manner, sort of to cover that they're not shaking the hand, and like clicks their heels together and just bows and makes their way to the door.
Actually, on the way out is a bit of fact checking that we didn't pursue, I don't think, on camera because it's not in my notes. As we kind of like walk along the what I think is probably quite a long table with everybody at it to make our way out, we pass
by... Give me back my wine.
We pass by the man in velvet who has the pin that suggests that he's the representative of the reference desk.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get the opportunity to go and say hello to you when we were doing our welcomings and everybody was sitting down. But yes, sorry, I wouldn't want to go and have a private conversation when I'm up in the middle of leaving. You know how these situations are. But I just wanted to introduce myself, Julian Larbalest.
Oh, goodness, it is wonderful to meet you.
I can see by your attire, or at least by your choice of pins, that you are part of the reference desk here.
Well, not here exactly, though I do tend to travel. I am based in the closest city to here. There is not much call for me to operate here, though I do like to touch base with Miss Truss and Mr. Arvedi and know some of the basic comings and goings. There are always people who are tallying their numbers far off from a place like this who need accurate information. And of course, the reference desk is always happy to provide that.
Oh, marvelous. So diligent. Everybody here is so on top of their game. I'm among titans. We may pass by if you are still in the space tomorrow and in the position to do a little bit of your duty. And we would love to have a speak to about some bits and pieces.
Oh, yes, of course, of course. If you have business with the reference desk, I would be happy to represent. Obviously, I only carry with me the knowledge that is expected for me to know. But if you have any specific requests, we can always dispatch a messenger to give you the rest of the information that you are looking for. Of course, should you have the coin.
Oh, you are a card. It does not answer that question. But it is a pleasure. And offers an elegant hand. I think a palm down in a very kiss the ring kind of way.
He takes it. He is clearly not familiar with the customs of the Azure region. He like takes it and shakes it and you know nods and bows a little bit. What wonderful to meet you as well. I look forward to making time for us to meet.
Fabulous. Oh, and Mr. Stone, thank you once again for introducing me to your wonderful invitees to invite me as part of this event.
Think nothing of it. I'm so glad I was able to find you and bring you here. Can you imagine if you had strolled through our little region without getting the chance to meet everyone?
Indeed. There is like one of the wait staff who has like an unopened bottle of red. Julian Larbalest picks up by the neck. I shall think nothing of it indeed.
Wow, what a play.
Thank you for the evening. Good night, everybody.
You say your good nights. And most people begin their good nights as well and start to leave the estate.
At the moment, we are like a good distance away from the operations, and we can have a private conversation. Orimar turns to Gable. Fucking hell.
Give me that. Hey, this is mine.
No. This is going to be something that we can give to a red feather later. We need to keep it intact.
You owe me. I've said you owe me. You and Jonnet owe me, but you owe me even more now. So much. You owe me so much.
I owe you a banquet when we can find somewhere less.
We're never going to get a banquet. We're never going to get a banquet. We never get good things. We only get big bad knives and dinner parties full of red feathers and drunks and the church and...
Don't worry, Gable. The chicken was dry. with the wryest smile Orimar can muster.
Very cruel, man. Very cruel. Let's go back to the ship, all right?
Yes. Yes, we'll return. We'll return. We need
get
to.
A real sandwich. God.
If nothing else, I would like to walk past, take our route so we walk past the baths on the way back.
If you want to explore that, again, there is a lot of information out there. Mm-hmm. You have the opportunity to get it, for sure.
It's like past the bathing hour at this point, and it's probably not even open. It's mostly
yeah,
everybody's
exactly.
Kind of gone.
It's like the church is mostly closed up. A lot of the priests and monks and other people who are operating the church and the baths have retreated to like their residential areas, whether they be with the church in a rectory or if they are to go back and mix with the general debtors who live here.
Okay. Genuine emotive conversation time. As we stand outside the baths, I wonder if they still steam even at this hour, if it stops when it's not being used.
I think it does still steam, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We look at the cloud of steam rising up into the night air, and Orimar says, "Well, I can only assume that Arivetti is full of shit. You would know better than me."
Unfortunately, we are encountering what I believe to be a true believer.
And in some ways, that's probably more dangerous.
I've never met a zealot that I enjoyed.
No, of course not. But still, you got him to talk and he gave us some valuable information, so I appreciate your, candor.
And I don't believe him that this has been an easy transition. I feel that something has happened in the past previous years that created a vacuum, and the desperation was even more stark than I anticipated. The violence of what I saw when the butcher asks for too much would drive anyone to any other arms, no matter how impotent they may be.
One wonders what that, the treatment that you don't have to pay for and what they're giving up that way, and how the people who have made that sacrifice feel about it.
We saw them. I imagine it's monkship. Infinite labor for the church.
Labor and coin, all earned from one location.
It's truly miserable.
In a different position, I would say we would dismantle it from the inside out, tear it all down, let the people work together to build something new, but I don't think we have the time or the resources to make that happen safely. The laugh is in character. There is no revolution that's bloodless. That's an idle dream.
I know that. That goes against a lot of your leanings, a lot of your desires. It's historically proven. That doesn't mean that we can't set a few dynamite wicks ablaze before we go.
Do you have a plan in mind?
Oh, no. But something's gonna happen. It always does.
Something has to happen. A good story isn't told of people just letting the world idly pass them by, not when there's this much hardship. And I'm sure your sense of judgment wouldn't let you lie idle.
Very, very starkly. Gable is staring at the baths, trying to smell like what the herbs and spices are in the concoction.
Sure.
Takes a big sniff. On this day, I cannot promise much, but what I will promise is one man will see his children again. While they're still at that great age.
It's a great age. Really is a great age.
The captain smiles. Let's get you a sandwich, Gable.
I don't exactly know what you might say my life was before I wound up here. I didn't define myself by profession. I was a wanderer mostly, moving between communities, finding work where I could get it. But most of what I did to keep meals on the table was turning the Illimat. The thing I always loved about the Lumens game is it rewarded attention. As long as you were diligent about tracking who played what and learned to play the board in front of you instead of the one you were hoping for, I found that fortune has a way of finding its way to you. But even a highly skilled player such as myself occasionally finds themselves dealt a bad hand. There is no profit without risk, and in order to take certain risks, one must borrow. Now, I considered myself a careful man. There are only two types of folks I would ever dream of borrowing from. The first is the sort of person who has a greater affection for you than your money, which is a rare soul to find indeed, but not impossible, especially when you're one who possesses charms such as mine. The second is the type of person you'll never see in your life again. Again, not an impossible person to find, but it certainly makes moving around more difficult. And I'll admit, taking that sort of loan is a dangerous thing to involve oneself in. Which is why I was so surprised that my troubles are owed to the first type of person, to someone who I felt had a greater affection for me than they did for money. My problems start up north. There's a little Red Feather refueling station called Fortune's Turn. On a slow ship, it's about a week out of Arum. But a bird or a fast ship will get you there in just a few nights. Turn is a community that I endeavored to keep myself ingratiated to. Being a refueling station, there were plenty of sailors who would pass through who were sitting with idle hours, looking for something to do with their hard-won currency. The Illimat table is exactly what a sailor might be looking for. And I am, as always, extremely pleased to be one seat at that table. Now, Fortune's Turn had a few establishments that would both serve liquor and host games. Many low-class establishments where people were mostly playing for copper bits. But there was an officer's bar, the Beached Siren, a lovely little place that always served sweet ice wines. Now, to play Illimat there, they had one rule. If you weren't a Red Feather officer, you had to have a drink on your table. And there was no nursing a single drink for more than an hour. Not exactly a favorable environment for a professional gambler like myself, especially as iced wines come on the expensive side. But the potential coin to be won there was silver bits. Maybe if someone was extraordinarily careless, a few bars. The kind of money that could keep a fellow such as myself housed and fed with plenty of options for travel. But of course, if you're going to frequent this type of establishment and frequently be the center of disputes, one must take great care to see that the staff is always on your side. Now, I won't claim that I was never a cheat in my life. I'm certain there's no lumen in all of Sphere that would allow me to sit long with that claim on my tongue, as even the rake has a sense of propriety from time to time. But I do swear, when I am in an establishment such as the Beached Siren, I'm always on my best behavior. It is no matter that most Red Feather officers have eyes and wits slower than home honey on an autumn day. All it takes is being caught once not to be welcomed back. And if you play your cards right, the Beached Siren can keep you going for a good long time. So I took pains to befriend the man behind the bar, a Mr. Lucius Cadwell, who used to be an Ariner himself of some repute, before meeting an unfortunate accident in the skies that took both his hand and his left leg. He decided rather than trouble himself trying to return to the air that he would take the settlement bestowed upon him by the Red Feather Syndicate and find a different line of work. And thanks to having many friends in high places, the Beached Siren was able to build itself up into being the sort of establishment frequented by those who didn't have to worry about where their next meal was coming from. It left Lucius the kind of man who was always willing to work hard, but never had to worry about the doors staying open. It doesn't take long to establish a rapport with that sort of bartender. When someone isn't scrambling to survive, they'll slow down to talk much more easily. And it was only the third night of talking to Lucius that I discovered his bachelorhood was quite confirmed. And for at least a handful of years, I counted him as quite a dependable friend. And once our relationship was established, Lucius came to understand my patterns. Which is that most of the time, I am very good for my money when it comes to ordering drinks to stay in the game. But not always. Sometimes I need a little bit of ledge, a little bit of an extension to make my final moves. A rough hand or two can make you stumble before you reach the mountain top, you see. Lucius would always make a note if I needed to be forwarded a drink, but at the end of each evening I was always sure to tip handsomely. And it was an arrangement that worked for all parties involved for quite some time. That is, until about 2 years ago now. It was a fine summer night when the doors of the beach siren were darkened by a different sort of beast altogether. When you make a living by taking money from rich men, you have to be discerning and careful about who you share a table with. There are the easygoing, unworried sorts like Lucius, who are willing to take losses alongside their long victories. There are those that feel entitled to victory at every turn, but are restrained by the very society that benefits them so much that they'd never dream of lifting a finger under watchful eyes. There are those who are quiet, who walk through life as though everything is within a soft cloud, who would happily spend an entire evening losing a fortune's worth of money simply because it's something to do. But there are also those who sit with a quiet intelligence behind their eyes, a spark of wit that a lifetime of luxury has fanned into malice. They are clever enough to know when they are being challenged, and quite used to overcoming every challenge they are met with, because they are supported by advantages they neither see nor recognize. It is these folks who require the most careful discernment. You see, they don't recognize winning and losing in the same way that other people do. Every victory you receive over a man like that, they consider an allowance given to you either by themselves or the Lumens. That all your petty victories are nothing but borrowed, and eventually fate will blow winds to allow them to collect. I am forced to admit that I am a man of many vices, and a great deal of those vices are indulgence-based, but I also succumb to temptations that are purely intellectual. I search for victories that will not just line my pocket, but memories that will keep me warm on deeply cold nights. And the face of such a man who is used to not only being supported by his great wealth and privilege, but also a spark of genuine wit. Well, remembering what they look like when they understand that they have truly lost something, that is a sweet memory. He was in town for a few nights, leading a large complement of Red Feather soldiers. Clearly he had received the best education that the Red Feather Academy was capable of producing. Everyone in uniform was excited to fawn over him and his many successes. And I did recognize the name. Youngblood. The sort of name that would appear on many crated seals passed around the continent. The sort of name that carried a great deal of coin behind it. It piqued my curiosity, and I engineered my way into a game with him. I easily won that night and walked away with 2 silver bits. But I could see that spark behind his eyes. There was emotion there, perhaps anger, perhaps frustration, but there was something deeper as well, what I thought I had identified as a hungry curiosity. When I was collecting my winnings, he mentioned that he would be in town for a bit longer and that he would like to see me at his table again. At that moment, I had to make an evaluation. Playing against a man like that who believes that he has just loaned you your victory and that you indeed owe him your defeat, you have to decide. Is this someone who has enough affection for you that they care for your company more than your money? Or is this the type of man that you are likely never to see again? I did what I thought was reasonable research. We are too close to Aurum for there to be much military action. There are very few piratical vessels that fly around these skies. And Fortune's Twist is a bit too small to be servicing most military vessels, as they tend to carry more crew than most. I had my suspicions that it would be all right to defeat this man night after night at the Illimat table, simply because he had quite a bit of money, and we were not likely to see each other again.
Campaign Skyjacks is a One-Shot Network production. For more information, be sure to follow us on Twitter over at CampaignPod for updates about live shows and other events we might be doing.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes.
And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions.
Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs.
The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug.
And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil.
But I'm getting ahead of myself.
Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Allie Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.
You can find more great gaming shows over at oneshotpodcast.com.
Jonnet Kessler was played by Tyler Davis, who can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Tyler A. Dave. Tyler is on strike alongside his fellow members of the WGA and SAG-AFTRA. You can support Tyler and other striking artists by contributing to the Entertainment Community Fund, linked in our show notes. Gable was played by Liz Anderson, who can be found on Twitter at @Liz_... or on her podcast, Paired. Captain Orimar Vale was played by Nathan Blades, who can be found on Twitter at @PhantomArtsENT, or streaming at twitch.tv/TheNeonCaster. I am James D'Amato, your host and game master. You can find me on Twitter at OneShotRPG, or on my podcast, One Shot. The original music featured in this podcast was written, composed, and performed by Arnie Parrott. You can find him over on Twitter at Arnie Parrott, or on his website, ATP Tunes. This episode was edited by Allie Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at Dreams to Become, or on her podcast, Skyjack's Courier's Call. Our logo was designed by Fiona Shea, who can be found on Twitter at Lunarum. The World of Sphere was inspired in part by the music of the Decemberists and Illimat, produced by Together Studios. This show was made in part by using a modified version of the Genesis role-playing system, designed by Sam Stewart and a team of talented professionals. There are no kings. Take flight.
Health to the strangers who've ever been kind, and once for our friends ne'er to rise. Twice to the dearest we're leaving behind, who know we can never deny the call of the skies.